Well, good morning again. It is so great to have you here. And those of you that are not yet able to join us live, we miss you. We pray for you. We hope that you're back with us soon. And for those of you that are here live, isn't it good to be back? Isn't it good to just be back live for worship services? I thought it was, but maybe it's not that big of a deal for you. Hey, if you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, whether that's on your iPhone or a real hardcover, kind of softcover Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in a series called Identity Crisis. I'll unfold that in a few minutes here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you know what we all have in common? We all represent something. Children represent their parents. Students represent their school. Players represent their teams. Employees represent their businesses, their corporations, companies. Pastors represent their churches. There's a challenge with representation. There's a challenge with representing something. People think positively or negatively about groups, nations, organizations, all based on the behavior of the people that represent them. Case in point, if your only exposure to Canadians is our pastor Neil, you might get the impression that all Canadians are just a tick off socially, right? And so it would be wrong to, you know, blame and say all Canadians are that way just because of your experience with one, right? Representation can be good or bad. It can be positive or negative in life. I was at lunch this last week at a local restaurant, and the hostess that greeted us was the daughter of a couple in our life group. And I mean, she was so mature. She was so kind. She was so caring. She was so responsible. She was so outgoing. She was such a great influence. On my way home, I'm texting mom and dad going, well done. Like she just did an awesome job. She's such a great representative of you and your family. My daughter Heather lives in Houston, Texas. And this last year, she was voted Teacher of the Year for her school. This is a picture of her with her husband, Troy, I think. There she is. And I mean, my daughter Heather is innovative as a teacher. She's creative. She loves her students. She pours into her students. She like all teachers, she works overtime, extra time to make that investment. And I just thought, not only am I proud of her, but what an incredible representation she is for teachers. The whole teaching class. Well done, Boomer. Good job with that. So in November of 2015, I had the privilege of opening the United States Senate with a word of prayer. It was just a great highlight for me. And when they introduced me on the Senate floor, they introduced me as Pastor Jeff Wheeler from Central Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And you know, I worked hard to put a prayer together, and my hope was that I represented Central Church well, that I represented Sioux Falls well, that I represented the state of South Dakota well, because there's so many times I don't represent y'all well. I mean, like on the roads, I just buzz past people. I cut people off. Like they know, there's people probably that experience me as a driver and will never come to our church because of me. Seriously. I stand up here week after week, and you know, I try to communicate well, but the one week that the friend that you've been inviting or the family member you've wanted to come, they come, and then I tell a joke and I think it's funny, but it's offensive, and you're like sweating, sitting, why did he say that this week? I say insensitive things, and I know I don't always represent the church well. That's why I hope that one event maybe was a good representation, because I know that I don't always represent the church well. Derek Chauvin, the Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd. That incident, along with several incidents across our nation where white male police officers unnecessarily have killed a young black man, has created such horrible representation for law enforcement in our nation that many people want to do away with law enforcement. Let's defund the police, which is ludicrous. But the feeling is so strong against these isolated cases where these injustices are happening. So what it's done is, for a white male police officer that's trying to walk in integrity, that loves his community, that's in law enforcement for all the right reasons, that's trying to be racially neutral in his profession and trying to do this thing right, like my son-in-law in St. Louis. Unfortunately, he gets thrown into that group of racists, and they're all the same because of poor representation. How many of you know that representation is significant? Whatever we're representing is important, that we live it out in a way that honors God and is full of integrity in our lives. So we've been talking about our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ is the truth that God says about us in Scripture. Neil Anderson says this: what we do does not determine our identity. Our identity determines what we do. In other words, what we believe about ourselves determines how we act, how we live life, and those kinds of things. So we've been talking in this series called Identity Crisis about different elements that Scripture says is our identity in Christ. We said that I'm a child of God, not a slave. My relationship with God has changed in Christ. We said that I'm a friend of God in Christ. I'm not a stranger. I have an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We said that I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. God sees me as holy in Christ, not just a sinner saved by grace. Scripture never calls us that. Even though we are sinners, we sin, and we're saved by grace. The Scripture says we're holy in Christ. We're saints, is the title God gives us. And today we're going to talk about the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. If you are a Christian, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. An ambassador is a representative of one nation to another. An ambassador works hard to maintain peace between nations. An ambassador speaks on behalf of a nation. Here's what I want you to walk away with today. Ambassadors represent the king. Ambassadors represent the king. And if you are a Christ follower, you represent King Jesus in your life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse 17. Paul says this. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. What this means is that those who become Christians, now pause there, if you're a Christ follower, if you've made the decision to follow Christ, Paul is speaking to you. What this means is those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone and a new life has begun. Paul says if you're in Christ, you have a new life. That means you have a new identity, which means that you have a new mission. You have a new sense of purpose in life. So every day when you roll out of bed in the morning, you rise up with this new mission. You are a representative of Jesus. You are an ambassador for Christ. That's your new identity. God's given you a new purpose. Verse 18 says, all this newness of life comes from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did on the cross. The cross has brought us back into a right relationship with God. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. That word task in the New Living Translation, in the Greek, is the word for ministry or service or mission. So we have this mission, this ministry of reconciliation, actually working with God to bring people back to God, to reconcile them, to bring them into a right relationship with God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And then this powerful verse, no longer counting people's sins against them. Wow. The judgment of sin no longer falls on the Christ follower. It fell on Christ. The penalty for disobedience to God, the wrath of God, no longer falls on us. Jesus bore the wrath. He no longer counts people's sins, people in Christ, against them. The love of God overrides the judgment of God. The mercy of God is over our lives as Christ followers. This is the wonderful message that he's given us to tell other people, this message of mercy and reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. Say ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. And then I want you to note the passion, the urgency, the love in Paul's next statement. We urge you as though Christ himself were pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Paul says, we urge you. We beg you. Man, we implore you. Come back to God. An ambassador of Christ represents the king, and I want to share three ways that we do that. The first is by the love that we show people, by the love that we show. First and foremost, this ministry, this task, this mission of reconciliation was born out of the love of God. John 3:16, many of you know it by heart. Many of you have heard John 3:16. It says this, for God so did what? Love the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever puts their faith in him, whoever believes in Jesus, shall not perish eternally, but have everlasting life with God. God so loved humanity that he provided a way that they could be reconciled to him through the cross. This whole mission, this whole purpose, this whole act of God began with God's love for humanity. See, ambassadors for Christ represent Jesus by loving others. Our mission is to communicate to other people in our world how God feels about them. How do people think God feels about them? By the way you treat them. With love and with grace and with kindness and with forgiveness and with acceptance, or with harshness and rudeness and unforgiveness and bitterness and prejudice. You're representing the king. You represent Christ. Every morning you wake up as a Christ follower by the love that you show. God so loved the world that he began this whole process of salvation and reconciliation. And we participate in the mission, the task, the ministry of reconciliation when we represent the love of God who started this whole thing. God so loved you and me and that difficult person in your life that he sent Christ to die. Those that disagree with you politically, those that disagree with you morally, those that don't share your values, how do you make them feel? Do you demonstrate to them how God feels about their lives? Ambassadors don't let personal agendas or personal desires get in the way of representing the king or the nation that they represent. Ambassadors understand they represent someone else, not their own agenda, not their own desires, not their own will, but the will of the one that sent them, right? My friend Bill, a number of years ago, worked for Pepsi Company. And Bill told me that if he's in uniform, if he's on the clock, if he's on duty, and he is ever seen with a Coke product, he'd be fired on the spot. That's truth. Fired immediately. He said this. He said that that's the truth. And we understand that when we work for Pepsi. He said, but the underlying truth is that if I'm out to dinner with my wife off the clock, not in a Pepsi uniform, and one of my superiors walks into the restaurant and sees me with the Coke product, I'm done anyways. They will find some other reason. But if I'm representing Pepsi with my profession and I'm promoting Coke products in my personal life, that doesn't work. He said, I would be done. Bill knew that even if he wanted to drink Pepsi, if he wanted to drink Coke, he couldn't, because he's committed himself to representing Pepsi. And friends, when you commit your life to Christ, you let go of your own desires. You let go of your own agenda. You become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you represent him. All through your day, you represent him by the love that you show other people. So if we allow hurt feelings, offenses, bitterness, unforgiveness to control our lives, we fail to represent Christ. At that point, we have assumed our own agenda in negotiations. We've assumed our own desire and our own will, and we act on our own. We don't act any longer on behalf of Christ. And so as ambassadors for Christ, we represent him by the love that we show other people, because this whole thing started with love in God. So I have to ask myself every day, am I committed to being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? As I go through my day, am I representing my agenda or the agenda of the King? Do I reflect God's love for people or my personal feelings about people? See, ambassadors know that they represent the King, not only by the love they show, but by the words that they speak. Verses 19 and 20, Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message. Say, wonderful message. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, bringing peace between people and God. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to people, say, through us as Christians. God is making his plea. God is making his appeal to the world through us. Then Paul says, as if we didn't get it the first time, we speak for Christ. We speak on his behalf when we plead to people, when we urge people, when we implore, literally beg people to come back to God. We've been given both a ministry or a mission of reconciliation and a message of reconciliation. It's not just how we live, how we treat people, but it's what we say with our mouth. And this message of reconciliation is about what God did for us through Christ. That's the whole point of this text, is that it was God's love. It was the cross that brings reconciliation. So in my conversations with people as I go through my day, I have to turn my conversations toward God's ability to change a life like he changed my life at the cross. If you're a Christ follower, God radically redeemed and changed your life through Jesus Christ. And so our responsibility now is to direct the conversations that we have with people during the day to what God has done for us through Christ. And you think it's hard, and it's really easy and natural. So I call these I've been there moments. Say, I've been there. And you have them every day. I've been there moments. When someone comes to you and says, can I confide in you? My marriage is really hurting right now. I'm really hurting right now. We're just not seeming to connect at the right level. And you say, I've been there, if you're married. In fact, you may still be there right now. Let me share with you how God's worked in my life. Let me share with you what God is doing in me that's helping my marriage. You've probably had someone come to you at work complaining about the boss or their job or their role or something or their family. Something's not going right. And you say, I've been there. You're thinking to yourself, this is not a unique problem. I've experienced that. So let me tell you how God has changed my life and helped me in that situation. When I was in college playing basketball, players would come to me on the team with problems with the coach or problems with their role on the team or problems with their girlfriend, and they're coming and just hurting and complaining. And I'm like, dude, I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me just share. I'm not a know-it-all. It's not in an arrogant way. Let me just tell you honestly how God has helped me put athletics and basketball in priority in my life. Let me share with you how God has helped me deal with that issue. My girlfriend and I, we have struggles too. Let me tell you how God has helped in that. These I've been there moments, you have them every day. If you have friends in your life, people that you confide in and confide in you, they're probably sharing personal things about your life. That's your opportunity to say, and I can point you to the cross. I can point you to what God has done in me. Let me tell you about Steve and Denise Sinui. Shirlene and I, when our daughters were growing up, they played youth softball. And so we coached their teams. Steve and Denise were the parents of Ashley, and we had drafted Ashley on one of our teams. And so there were parent meetings. We'd get acquainted, and then they'd be at the games and stuff. And never forget, Steve and Ashley came to us either after a game, I don't remember when it was, and just said, hey, can we talk to you? We know you're a pastor, but we're just struggling in our marriage. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, bro. I said, I've
been there.
Well, I was probably still there. So we began to meet with Steve and Ashley and just talk with them about how God can actually help in a relationship. God's teaching can actually help us bring life into our relationship. And as a result of some of those conversations, Steve and Denise began to attend our church. And a few months later, Steve and Denise surrendered their lives to Christ because we had an opportunity to share this wonderful message of reconciliation in our lives. This is how God changed us. And that opened the door. It created a bridge at some point for us to say, let me tell you, let's talk about your relationship with God, not just ours. Are you ready? Do you feel like you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus personally? See, the one leads to the other. This concept of communicating what God's done for you, how God has reconciled you, how God has changed you as you share that with other people, it opens the door for you to get specific about, you know what, you need Christ. And you can walk them through the ABCs of salvation. If you don't know what that are, look at the board. But then look back at me so I don't lose all of your attention the rest of the sermon. The message of reconciliation begins with how God has changed me. It's my story, and you have a story. How often are you telling your story to other people about how the King has changed your life? And when we share God's message, God speaks through us. Verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. The words of an ambassador carry the weight and the authority of the king himself. When an ambassador goes to another nation, the words that he speaks, he's speaking on behalf of the king, they carry the same authority, the same influence. He's speaking the words of the king. And we have the authority, in a sense, to speak God's word into people's lives. And this verse says that God uses what we say to call people to himself. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message, whose message? God's message from us. So God had an agent. God had a person through which this message came. When you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as just human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. We speak on God's behalf. And this word continues to work in you who believe. God's word is powerful, and we actually speak his word, his message. And God draws people to himself and works in their lives when we share his message. So in all that we do, as we go through our day, we have to ask this question. Do my words represent the King? As I'm about to speak to my child, as I'm about to correct my child, as I'm about to discipline my child, will my words represent the King? As I'm speaking to my husband, as I'm speaking to my wife, are my words representing the King? When I go to school, when I interact with my classmates, maybe those that disagree with me, those maybe I don't like, maybe those that have hurt me, do my words represent the King? Or do they represent my own agenda? As you go through the day, you can continually ask yourself, and I tend to pray before I go into meetings, God, speak through me. God, let me hear your voice. God, I don't know what to say. Would you help me with this so I say the right thing? Ambassadors for Christ not only represent the ambassador of Jesus by the love that they show, but also by the words that they speak. And they also represent the King by the decisions that they make. The love we show, the words we speak, and the decisions that we make. And so we ask ourselves, how does this decision represent the King? How does this decision represent Christ? Is this decision I'm about to make consistent with the values of the king? Would this decision and what I'm going to do truly represent the values and the desires of God? Let's get specific. Would Jesus spend this much money on this house? Would Jesus spend this much money on a car? Would Jesus buy these clothes? Like, is my stewardship, my management of the resources that God's given me, does it reflect the values of the king? Or am I excessive? Do I just purchase unnecessary things? How does the way I dress reflect the values of the king? Am I representing the king well in how I go about my day? Would Jesus watch this movie? Would Jesus read this magazine? Would Jesus make this social media post? The decisions we make. You know, one of my biggest failures is with my time. Decisions related to my time. Like, am I investing my time in the right stuff? It's easy for me to come home from work in the afternoon and Charlene cooks a great dinner and I eat it and then I'm tired and I kind of snooze on the chair for a few minutes. And then it's just, oh, Dodgers play now. Oh, Lakers play now. Oh, do you want to watch Star Wars tonight? Oh, what are we going to watch tonight? Like, am I really making decisions about my time in a Christ-honoring way? Is there something that I could do in the evening that would invest in the kingdom of God, that would in some way promote God's kingdom and God's values in my life instead of just saying, I'm on my time now, God, this is my agenda? Well, no, I actually represent Christ all day with my whole life and with my time. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we represent him in this world by the love that we show, by the words that we speak, and the decisions that we make. Because ambassadors represent the king. Poor representation by a few racially prejudiced police officers soured the nation's opinion of all police. What's your representation of Jesus Christ doing to those in the world? Is it good representation or poor representation? Are you ruining it for the rest of us who are trying to bring people to Christ? Are you just continually offending people, putting people off, hurting people? Friends, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we made the decision when we chose to follow him not to serve our own agenda, but to now attend to as an ambassador and representative of the King of Kings in the love we show, the words we share, and the decisions that we make. I want to just end by talking about the urgency of Paul in this text related to how much time do we have still to preach this message, to be ministers of reconciliation with message of reconciliation. Amir Sarfati is a Jewish author, and he wrote the book, The Last Hour. And concerning ambassadors, he says this: there are also times with ambassadors when negotiations with another nation breaks down. Governments have said all they can say to each other, and war is on the horizon. At these times, ambassadors are called home. The enemy has stopped listening, and it's no longer safe for a nation's representatives to remain in hostile territory. There will come a time when God sees that the world is no longer listening to his ambassadors. At this moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he will call his church back home. It's a reference to the rapture. It's a reference to God catching away his bride and taking us to heaven for the 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And Paul understands our time is short. That's why he says, we plead with you. We urge you. We beg you. Be reconciled to God. Come back to God. Be reconciled to Christ. And friends, I don't know if COVID is doing anything else in your life except pointing you to the reality that things are getting close to the return of Christ. And more than ever, you have to feel that urgency that there's going to come a time when your son, your daughter, your friend, your coworker is no longer going to hear your voice as an ambassador of Jesus telling them to come back to God. So how important is right now? How important is the moment that we're living in right now, because we don't know when that day is going to come. There's an urgency to the apostle. We beg you. We urge you. Come back to God. Friends, I hope we share in these times the urgency of the apostle as Christ's ambassadors to reach all we can reach with the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Let's pray. If you're watching online this morning, or maybe you're here live, and you're not at peace with God, you don't know God. Maybe you attend church. Maybe you're just getting into this Christianity thing and you're learning about it, but you've never crossed the line of faith. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Today's the day. Time is short. Would you pray this with me? Would you just pray, Lord, I admit that I've sinned. I admit that I've broken your law. I stand condemned before you spiritually with no way to change my condition. But I believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth and went to the cross and died so he could take my sin, so he could reconcile me to the Father. God, I believe that this morning, that only Jesus can save me. Would you forgive me, Lord? And Lord, this morning I commit, by the grace and the power that you provide for me by the Holy Spirit, to live every area of my life for you. God, help me today. Save me today. Forgive me today. Lord, for the rest of us that already know you, we're ambassadors for Christ. God, as we go out this week, would you help us to lay our own agendas aside? Would you help us to lay our own desires aside? Would you enable us to lay our own hurts and frustrations and disappointments aside and rise up in the strength and the grace of the Holy Spirit this week and represent the love of God, the reconciling mercy of Jesus to those we come in contact with? God, help us to show your love. Help us to speak your words and make choices that represent your kingdom. Help us. Amen. May the love of Christ the King consume your heart. May your words reflect the love of Christ. May you proclaim to the world how the cross can save. And as an ambassador of Jesus, may you represent the King to the world. Amen. God bless you.